Grace encourages you. Grace gives you a positive attitude, don't you think? Miss Ava reminded me of a story that I had actually read once before. There was this little boy who was outside playing baseball by himself. And if you know how to do that, you know, you pitch the ball up and you swing and you hit it. Well, he had this concept of telling yourself the truth and being positive. So he would say, "I'm the greatest hitter that's ever been." And he'd pitch the ball up, he swung, and he missed. Strike one. He said, "I'm the greatest hitter that's ever been." He pitches the ball up, he swings as hard as he can, he misses it again. Strike two. He pitches the ball up once again, but as he said before, "I'm the greatest hitter that's ever been." So he pitches the ball up, he swings, and he misses the ball again. Strike three. Then he stood back and said, "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher that's ever been." So you see, God will take, and we're going to talk about Romans 8:28 in this message as we mainly focus on 2 Peter. Romans 8:28 says that God takes all things and works them out. That "all," by the way, means your mess ups. You say, "Well, how can God take my mess ups and turn it into something good for me and bring Him glory?" How many of you have ever done something stupid in your life? Raise your hand. For you that didn't raise your hand, I'll talk about lying next week. Okay? All right. How many of you seen where God maybe took your mess up and He actually taught you, He molded you? Now you've been able to be a blessing to somebody else that maybe did the same thing, or they're going through something with somebody that did the same thing, and you're now a minister in that situation. How many of you have seen that happen in your life? Many of you. That's kind of the gist of what we're talking about. We've been talking about 2 Peter, and we're in chapter 1, and I know you thought that I took two messages just to cover three verses, and today we're going to cover verses 4 through 15 in one message. You're going to think, wow. But, you see, I understand something that I didn't understand most of my life, that 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 talks about growing in grace. Peter begins that book with growing in grace, and then he ends the book, that we're going to see later on, he ends the book with growing in grace. There's a best-kept secret, I'm telling you, that the grace of God, as you grow in grace, that means you understand more of what He's done for you, you understand your identity, you tell yourself the truth about who you are in Him, and you quit listening to yourself, you quit listening to your others, people that put you down, and I'm telling you, if you'll believe the truth, it'll begin to transform your behavior. That's what we want all anyway. I want to show verse 3. I just took this verse last week, and I'm telling you, if you didn't hear that message, please go back online and go to gracecafechurch.com, and you can hear the messages. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us," not is granting, not is going to grant when you pray for it, not is going to grant it when you get your behavior together. "He has done this." This is a part of the finished work of the cross. "He has granted to you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness." Wow. Has granted to you everything. And then he says, here's how I've done it. "Through the true knowledge," that's the word epignosis, meaning a deeper God-given knowledge of Him who called you by His own glory and excellence. If you really begin to take God up on this verse and believe it, it will change your prayer life from petitions of asking for God all these things to thanksgiving. He says He's already given you everything you need to pertain to life and godliness. You need healing, you need financial help, you need relational help, you need wisdom from God, you need peace. He's done giving you all that. Begin to thank God in advance for what you feel like you don't have. You're worried and you say, "Wow, I need God's peace." Say, "God, I want to thank You that I already have You, already have Your peace." You start telling yourself the truth, you'll begin to feel it and believe it in your emotions and even in your actions. You see, we've been taught, "Well, I can't thank God for it because I don't see it happen yet." Folks, that's walking by sight, and the Bible says to do what? Walk by faith. Wow. Big difference, right? You see, this verse eliminates worry and stress if you really believe it. It'll transform your behavior, as we're going to talk about today, and actually that's where we're going. 2 Peter, today we're going to look at walking in God's power, walking in God's power. It's one thing to have a head knowledge, that's a gnosis, but an epic gnosis, meaning a deeper God-given knowledge of really what He has done, and we begin to believe verses like verse 3, we will begin to see transformation occur in our lives, something that we want already, okay? Here we go, 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 4. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Notice He says past tense again. He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now back up to the first part of the verse. It says, for by these, what does He mean by that? Well, He's talking about the previous verse. He said He has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has given you Jesus Christ. You're in Him. You can't be any closer to God than you are right now. You know, I was taught, well, if I'm going to get closer to God, I got to be digging in the Word. I got to be reading. I got to be serving Him so I can get closer to Him. Can I tell you that's a lie? You are already in Jesus Christ. How much closer can you get? Now, you can be more aware of your closeness. That's what growing in grace is all about, of understanding, wow, this has already been done apart from me performing. I've gotten off of the performance treadmill. Can I hear an amen of anybody else that has? I used to think I had to work, I had to serve, I had to read the Bible, I had to show up at church every day. I had a pastor one time that said, and I probably said it too, out of ignorance, if you're not in the church every time the doors are open, you're in sin. I think, really? Just because you said I'm to be there, I'm in sin? I don't think so. Folks, I'm telling you, this grace has flipped this old preacher upside down, and I'm praying if it hadn't you yet, that it'll get a hold of you, and you'll say, wow, I'm not sure I believe Him, and I'm okay with that, by the way. I really am. If you say, well, that's not what I was taught, well, that's okay. You realize you could have been taught wrong. Your grandmama could have been wrong. Your preacher could have been wrong. Check me out through the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Don't just take my word on it like you've taken other preachers' word on it. You study this out for yourself, and if the Holy Spirit leads you somewhere different than I'm leading you, you go with Him. I'm good with that. Y'all should say amen to that. That's good. You don't hear many preachers say it's okay to disagree with Him. I'm telling you, it's okay to disagree with me. For by these things, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Now stop here just a second. This is why the most important thing we can do in the Christian life is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. That means that we keep digging for buried treasures. We keep digging for precious and magnificent promises. I want to keep digging deeper, don't you? If the finished work of the cross has accomplished for me total forgiveness, that means I'm forgiven apart from trying to remember to confess them one at a time. That was huge for me. If that's news to some of you, please read the book that you were given if this is your first time. I have a whole chapter about total forgiveness. That's just one of the nuggets. But if I understand that I'm in Christ and I'm already close to Him, that God's not mad at me when I sin, because you see, He's already seen that sin on the cross. He's already forgiven that sin on the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 says He's not holding that sin against you anymore. It gives you the power to get up from that mistake and move forward, and thinking that there's a big wall of sin between you and God. That's just the nuggets that I keep seeing the more I keep digging. That's why I keep loving coming to this church. That was kind of a joke, y'all. This is the reason we are to keep digging to see what these promises are. Now look at the rest of the verse. It says that so by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You see, before Christ, we could only walk according to what we knew. That means walking according to our own knowledge, our own flesh. But now that Christ has come, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice that tells you to stop and do something for that guy on the side of the road. That still small voice that just you say, wow, I feel like I need to help that person. Or I need to do this, or I need to do that. That's the Holy Spirit living within you. Most of you didn't know that, did you? Yes, you did. You just maybe weren't taught that. But Peter now shifts from what is done. Now listen to this. We've been talking a lot about our identity in Christ. Now he begins to shift from what is done to what He wants to do through us, from our identity to actions. Now watch this carefully as we start out here in verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply, here we go, here's a list, moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge. And by the way, that word knowledge is just the word gnosis. It's not the word epignosis. Epignosis, that deeper growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Now He begins to work knowledge in your brain to just understand more. And it says, in your knowledge, self-control. Anybody needs some self-control sometimes in their life? Look at everybody pointing fingers. Why don't you take your finger, stick it up in there, point it to yourself. We all need that, don't we? Perseverance. Oh, in your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Does this sound like anything that might be listed somewhere else when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, and all these things? You see, this is why I've entitled the message, Walking in His Power. You can't produce these things like self-control, godliness, and perseverance, and kindness, and all these things just through self-effort. You can do a little bit through self-effort. And you said, all right, I'm going to be kind today. That's what I used to think church was all about. I'd hear messages like this, and they'd say, all right, make a list. We got to be self-controlled. Just go out and do this. Well, how'd that work out for you? Did you know that you were never meant to do these? These are supplied to you as you focus on the finished work of the cross. I'm telling you, just hang on here. If you're still doubting this power of this growing in grace can really do all this, I pray that your eyes will be open today. Okay? Do you see these qualities in your life? Do you see any quality that you don't possess as well as you would like to? Maybe there was one that jumped out and you thought, wow, I don't do good in that area. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe it's I give up too quick or whatever. Now, remember verse 3 says you've been given all that you need that pertains to life and godliness. Did you know that these things listed here, self-control, godliness, perseverance, kindness, all these things you really do need to live that pertains to life and godliness? You guess what? You already have every one of these qualities. You say, preacher, I don't act like that all the time. Hey, I don't either. But what I'm trying to get you to see and what God's trying to get you to see, that you're in Christ, He's in you. He has all of these qualities that you need, and my friends, you need to take God up on it. It doesn't mean just because you're not doing them that you don't have them. Okay, now it's going to get clearer. Hang on with me. Look at verse number 8. It basically says what I just said. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful to the true knowledge. By the way, that true knowledge there is the epignosis. That's a different Greek word for the deeper meaning of the word knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're telling yourself that I do not have self-control, because you're looking at your behavior, but if you tell yourself I do not have self-control, you are lying to yourself and you're saying that God's a liar. He says you have it. You say you don't, are you telling God He's a liar? It's okay. He's not mad at you about that either. He just wants you to begin to see things the way He sees you. You see, this didn't say you act like you have self-control all the time. Pick any one of them, kindness, that kind of thing. And notice He also said they're increasing. This means that your behavior is catching up with the gift that He gave you. It doesn't mean you're increasing like, well, I don't have it because He says I'm increasing in it. No, you have it. He just wants your behavior now. He wants you to begin to let it be lived out in your life. Don't you want self-control to be seen in your family? Don't you want self-control, kindness, and perseverance, and patience to be seen to other people? Those are characteristics of Jesus Christ. And I want those characteristics to come forth. The question is, how do I get there from here? Most said it's all about legalism. It's about striving to do these things. Setting your head to it. Well, I'm just going to do it. Folks, I've tried that, and I'm telling you, you might get somewhere for a short distance, but then I'll revert right back. Quit trying to do it. Focus on Jesus Christ, and then watch Him begin to do these things in your life, is what I'm trying to say. Look at verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities, all right, is there one of them things that you lacked that you see, wow, I wished I could see that one increase in my behavior? All right, here's the answer. He's telling you what to do, and it isn't to go strive to do it either. Watch it. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. What does that mean? Having become forgetful of the cleansing of his old sins. Let me tell you what it's not saying. Because I know there's other verses that clearly say, Colossians 2, 13 through 14 right in there, says that you've been forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. So this is not saying, well, just remember now, you were forgiven of the sins that when you were saved or the sins you've remembered to confess. That's not what he's saying. As far as God is concerned, your sins, past, present, and future, have already been forgiven. Now, folks, that took a burden off of me. I used to spend more of my time focusing on trying to remember to confess my sins than I did on Jesus Christ. How about y'all? I was more sin conscious than finished work of the cross conscious, you see. The Bible teaches that he threw your sins into the depths of the sea. Psalms 103, 11 and 12 says, he has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. As I mentioned, Colossians 2, 13, he's forgiven you of all sins. Hebrews 10, 17, the Bible says that he has chosen to not remember your sins any longer. When you sin and blow it, my friends, you need to know this, because Satan don't want you to know this. Some of your Christian friends don't want you to know this because they don't believe it. You need to know what God says. When you blow it in sin, now I don't run saying, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, I'll try not to do that again. And I believe it's good to confess, but don't confess to be forgiven. Say, Lord, thank you that you saw this at the cross. And thank God nothing has changed between my relationship and you. And my friends, when you get that understanding that that's already been dealt with at the cross and God has chosen to forgive that sin and forget it, it'll give you the power to get up. But the devil will whisper to you, say, well, preacher, if you tell them that, they'll just sin now and won't care. That's a lie. If they really deep down understand, it humbles you to the point that you don't want to sin anymore. I'm telling you, I've tried it, and I'm telling you this is a much better way. And it's the new covenant way. I just didn't understand that. As I said earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:19, he's not counting these sins against you. So what is Peter saying here? If you lack in these qualities, keep growing in grace. Go back and keep studying what has happened to your sins is what he's trying to say. He said if you lack these qualities, you're blind and you still hadn't got it. You still need to understand the finished work of the cross. Understand that God totally eradicated your sins. Remember that you're now a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You need to tell yourself this when you blow it and when others put you down. You need to quit listening to what they say and listen to what God says about you. This is what we're trying to get these little children to understand early in life. If I understood what I understand now at their age, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be shaken by some of these teenagers and these young children that are putting you down because you don't wear the right thing, because you don't look just right. All these kind of things. They need to understand their identity doesn't come from these people. It comes from God Himself. And there is a supernatural power of understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm just now not shaken quite as bad when I hear a customer or I hear somebody put me down or another preacher for teaching this kind of message. You see, my identity and my security, my significance now is not wrapped up in these other voices. It's wrapped up in the voice, and His name is Jesus Christ. This is so fascinating to me. I've never seen the grace perspective as I see it now for the first 30 years of my Christian walk. Up until about 8 years ago, I started down this grace journey, and I'm telling you, I'm seeing things come alive. I see scriptures that were there the whole time. I was just blinded by the law system, if you will. Look at verse 10. It just keeps getting better. Therefore, brethren, Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Now, I'll tell you how I used to preach that in just a second, okay? For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And here's how I used to preach this. I'd say, make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you were chosen. Make sure you were called. That is not what this means. Study how you were called. It's what he's trying to say. You say, preacher, how do you know everybody's called? Because I've read the Bible. And the Bible says that for God so loved the world, that word world means the cosmos. That means everybody. Some of you deep thinkers know about Calvinism. They'll say some were called and some were not. Some were chosen and some were not. Folks, can I tell you that's another lie? You all were chosen. You all were called. And Peter is saying, study this out. Dig deeper if this really is true. There are many scriptures that tell us this. But I must show you just one. To me, this is another verse that really changed my life. 1 Peter chapter 2. We studied it in the previous series as we went through 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at this. But you are a chosen race. You remember 2 Peter? He says, check, study this out, that you were chosen. Okay, here it says you were chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You're no longer a simple servant. I just humbly serve Jesus. The Bible says you're no longer a servant. You're now a son. That's a whole new status. Royalty. A holy nation. Did you know that you're holy? If I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you are holy here today? About half of y'all would. Well, maybe. Wait a minute. Let me pray for it. You are a holy nation. How can that be, preacher? Because the Bible says that you were buried with Christ, you were raised with Him, and this happened before you believed it. He took sins, your sins, and buried them. He raised you a new creation in Christ. And you see, that's how He can say that you're a holy nation. Because He did it. It isn't about your confession, it's about what He has done. You're a holy nation. You're God's own possession. The old King James says the peculiar people. That's not a good translation because peculiar means weird or different. How many of you heard saying, well, the Bible says we're peculiar people, so we need to be different. The Greek word simply means that God possessed you. You're now His. Hey, you want something to meditate on this week? Go through this week understanding, thinking, I am God's possession. He bought me with the price, His Son's blood. Just think about that you're God's. And you go through a difficult time and you think, I'm God's. I'm in Him. He's in me. What have I got to worry about? You see the power in this? And it's all about focusing on what He's done, not what you're going to do this week. And here's what he says is going to happen. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called. There's that word called. You say, well, I'm not sure I'm called. You're called. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now back to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain that His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. What is he saying here? He's saying keep growing in grace. Keep coming to Grace Cafe Church. Keep listening to messages that are teaching you who you are in Jesus Christ. There's plenty more people teaching this, thank God. It's growing. Keep studying the finished work of the cross. How were you chosen? When did He choose you? When were you called? Can I give you the answer to those two questions? It was at the cross. Actually, if you want to get down to it, it was before the foundation of the world. God already knew what mankind was going to do. He's going to blow it, and He already had this plan to save you. Aren't you thankful? All right, what about this you'll never stumble, say, preacher? Well, I clearly still stumble. You know what? When you run across a passage, ask the Holy Spirit. I did that. I said, Holy Spirit, help me here. You're my teacher. And here's what the Holy Spirit said. Well, keep reading first. I said, okay. This wasn't audible. It was just an inner voice. I just knew to do this. Okay? Look at this. Verse 11. For in this way the entrance entered the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And I had to read that again. And I said, okay, Lord, I've read that. I'm still struggling here. So what does this have to do with you'll never stumble mean? Here's the answer God gave me, and He may clarify that to you. And Dan, that might be a good question to ask here in discussion time. It means that you can't mess up your eternity with Jesus. He basically took you from you'll never stumble to eternal things, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is it that you can't mess up your eternity with Jesus? Because Jesus Christ abundantly supplied it to you. Look at the verse. Can I take this even past the eternal and take this to maybe your stumbling and mess ups today? And I touched on it in the beginning. Even when you stumble in your living, you make a big mistake, there are consequences to your sin. I've had people say when I say this about that you've been forgiven past, present, and future sins apart from you running one at a time. Well, preacher, you saying there's not consequences for sin? That's not what I'm saying. There are consequences to sin. How many of you know that? We make mistakes. We blow it. Some of you may still be dealing with the consequences of a past mistake that just kind of... But did you know that it's not God inflicting punishment upon you? It's the sin that's doing that. If you think God's inflicting punishment upon you because of something you blew yesterday or 10,000 years ago, then you still don't understand total forgiveness. You're still walking in condemnation. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So don't let the devil do that. That was a big one for me. But I had to understand total forgiveness first. Now this makes sense that I'm whole in. I've been forgiven and purged and cleansed, and God sees me flawless, as the song sang, we sang about, because of what has been done. Okay? But he says here, even when you stumble and make a mess, Romans 8:28 tells us the answer to that too. Look at it. And we know, do we really? I'm afraid we don't sometimes. We mess up, we blow it, something happens unexpected, it wasn't our fault. We're going through a difficult time and we say, why is God allowing this to happen to me? I've asked those questions 100 times plus. And I wonder why. And we know that God causes all things. Mess ups, successes, good behavior, bad behavior. All means all. I looked it up. All things work together for good to those who love God. You say, well, maybe I'm not loving God enough. We put conditions on this verse. I've heard preachers do it. I did it. For those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Folks, in my legalistic days, I used to put conditions on this verse. I'd say, well, maybe not all are called. Well, see, I now know that's a lie. They are all called. I used to say, well, if you're not living according to His purposes, so if I'm not living just right, I'm not doing the right things, I can't claim this verse. In other words, we're putting many conditions on what God has said here. Thank God this verse is not dependent on my good behavior or actions. Look at it again. For and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called. You might as well put in Carlton Rivers there, your name. God causes all things to work together for, call your name out. Do it right now. All right. I'm going to try this again. When we get to that part, I want you to personalize this verse. And let's say, and I know that God causes all things to work together for, I want you to call out your name. Okay, you ready? And I know that God causes all things to work together for Carlton. Personalize scriptures like this. Because I am called according to His purposes. You see how you personalize scripture? Now notice the next verse in Romans 8:29. Y'all hang with me about 2 more minutes. I'm landing the plane, as the old seminary professor says. Says some of you preachers, you kind of act like you're going to land the plane, and the people out there are so ready. And you hear you take off again for another 20 minutes. So, all right, I'm going to land a plane. Here we go. Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. This is a confusing verse. Some have said, they've used this for that Calvinism nonsense that talks about, well, some he predestined. In other words, he chose some to be saved, and some he didn't. Folks, put yourself in here. For those, for Carlton, whom he foreknew, he knew you before you were ever born. Y'all realize that? Before the foundation, before he ever created the world, and he created mankind, and here 2,000 years ago later, you come along. He foreknew you to be conformed. That means to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, he did that in our identity. When he buried us with Christ, he raised us with him. Now he wants our behavior to catch up with who we are. And that happens through epignosis, through the knowledge of growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Your behavior is being transformed to the image of Jesus, and you just sometimes don't even know it. Wow. Just keep growing in grace. Quit trying to change your behavior. Focus on Jesus, and I promise you, He will change you. He predestined that this would be so. And folks, God, when He decides something, it doesn't matter what I think, it's going to happen. You can trust Him. Now back to 2 Peter. Look at verse 12 through 15. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you. Remember, this was the last letter that Peter wrote. If you were going to tell your family something in a letter, what would you tell them? He didn't tell them to be good witnesses. He didn't tell them to be in church every time the doors were open. He didn't tell them to be kind. He didn't tell them to do all these things. His main focus was to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, because he knew the rest of this would work out if they'd just get that part right. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. By the way, the truth is Jesus Christ. He is grace and truth, which is present with you. He said in verse 13, I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling. In other words, as long as I'm alive, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. Did you know I feel like that's my calling? It's to stir this gift of Jesus up in you. And what does it mean? What is the finished work of the cross accomplished? My job is not to beat you on the head and get you to stop this and start that. My job, I believe, is to point you to Jesus Christ. Understand your identity. Understand what the finished work of the cross has accomplished, because I have confidence in the Holy Spirit to keep you in line. Now, some of them, I'm have a little doubt, you know, Dan and some other. No, I'm just kidding. Now, somebody says, you preach like this, preacher, you're giving them freedom, and nothing's going to keep them from just getting out there and sinning and enjoying it at the same time. Hey, they're doing it before in the previous life. You see, I trust the Holy Spirit with you. It's not my job to keep you in line. It's my job to love you and to teach you how much God loves you. You see, we love, that's our part, because He first loved us. The more I teach you that first loved you from God, your love from other people now will begin to multiply, if I'll just do a good job with that part. Okay? Look at verse 14 and 15. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling, He knew is imminent. He knew He was about to die. He said, as also the Lord Jesus has made clear to me. The Holy Spirit had already made it clear that His ministry was about over as far as His earthly ministry. Aren't you glad His ministry really is continuing on, because we're still studying it today? But He knew He was about to die. And He said, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Wow. Deathbed proclamation. I hope that you're seeing the power of growing in grace and really what that means. Once again, I read Titus 2:11 and 12. You that want to study this out, Titus 2:11 and 12 says, the grace of God brings salvation. We knew that part if you were raised in church. But then it says, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's to stop doing some things we don't want to do. and to live righteously. That's to start doing some things that we want to do. That's behavior. It's life transformation, you see. I thought the church was all about behavior modification. In other words, I'm going to church to be a better Christian. I'm going to church so I can do more right things than wrong things. And so therefore I came to church. Well, yeah, preacher told me today. How many of y'all said, preacher, you stepped on me today, but I just want to thank you. You beat me down today, but thank you. Hey, my job's to lift you up. My job is to help you see life transformation, not behavior modification. There's a big difference. The Holy Spirit's all about life transformation. Focus on Him and leave the power of the change to the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen?